Isaiah 9, starting in verse 2, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This season, we celebrate the birth of a child, okay, the most significant and influential child who will ever be born. As we just sang, we also celebrate the birth and the arrival of a king, the king of all kings, the most significant and influential ruler who would ever rule. Okay, and while this Isaiah 9 passage, it might be familiar, it's read a lot during Christmas seasons, there's a word in this passage that as I read it again, I just wanted to clarify. It kind of stood out to me. The passage says, "The government will be on his shoulders. The greatness of his government will have no end." And that word is kind of just like a little buzzword. You know, you watch the news, you think of the government, you think of our government, the governments around the world. It's like, what is it talking about there? It seems kind of odd. No, this does not mean that King Jesus has come to be one of the many political systems around the world. The Hebrew word here for government is the word misra. Misra, which means reign, dominion, and authority. Reign, dominion, and authority. All reign, all authority belongs to this child that was born, the son that was given. And I really love how Jesus, he doesn't shy away from this, that declaration of who he is, who he has come to be. He doesn't say, well, you know, I guess I have a little bit of authority here and there. I'm not really sure. No, he just names this truth. In Matthew 28, the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." I have been given this authority. This was about me. This continues to be about me. I am this King of all kings who has arrived to bring about my peace. Jesus was not born to be another government or another political option. He was born to reign over all things as the King of Kings, having ultimate authority over all things. The King has come to establish his kingdom here on earth. And from this passage, okay, so what do we learn about Jesus' kingdom? So we're talking about, you know, the birth of a child, the arrival of a king. When the king arrives, he establishes his kingdom. So what is Jesus' kingdom all about? What do we know about Jesus' kingdom? In Isaiah 9, excuse me, he will be called Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Many others would come, and they would use their temporary earthly authority to rule with harshness and rule with oppression and subjugation, and I am the king and you are my slaves and you do what I say and I'm ruling harshly over you. Not King Jesus. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of peace. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of peace. It's a reign of peace. 700 years after God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, and so 700 years before Jesus' birth, 700 years later, after that declaration of the coming of the Prince of Peace. God sent his messengers, the angels. God sent his angels to some uneducated and socially insignificant shepherds. And to these terrified shepherds, the armies of angels shouted out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace to those on whom his favor rests. Again, you've heard this before, right? This is, I'm not sure if it's part of the Charlie Brown Christmas story or whatever, but we know this. Like, peace on earth to whom God's favor rests. Like, we know this. This is more than, though, just some kind of flowery greeting. This is a declaration that because of Christ's birth, real, true, life-changing, world-changing, and eternity-shaping peace has arrived in what is happening and what we celebrate. A peace that is greater than our circumstances has arrived. A peace that carries us through uncertainty has arrived. A peace that carries somebody like John, who I see in the hospital, and he says, I know where I'm going, PJ. It's in God's hands. I trust him. A peace that is bigger than what we are currently facing has arrived. And it's beautiful and it's life-changing. And we can know the peace of Jesus' kingdom for ourselves when we place our trust in him. Trusting in King Jesus. Trusting in King Jesus above myself. Trusting in King Jesus above the insufficient things of the world that make these promises that never really follow through. Before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples this. In John 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." So Jesus contrasts here what the world offers us with what he offers us. And almost from the beginning, almost from the time we are born, we are thrown at us all of these messages that are lies of, if I just own this, then I'll have peace. If I just accomplish this, if I just earn this, okay, that's where my peace is. If I just have this relationship, if I just have this number in my bank account, then, okay, that's where peace will be found. And none of that is true. Anything outside of Jesus that we run after to find peace will be insufficient. Anything. Therefore, we need to trust in Jesus to be our peace, belonging to his kingdom, seeking out what it means to be a member of the kingdom of God, a citizen of the kingdom of God, and not belonging to the world. And understanding that Jesus' kingdom people, what that looks like, Jesus' kingdom people therefore embrace and extend peace. Those who belong to Jesus' kingdom, this kingdom of peace, therefore embrace for ourselves and extend to others the peace that he gives. Now, Jesus doesn't want us constantly walking around in anxiety or anger or chaos, or instability. He says, "My peace I give to you, my son, my daughter." My peace is unlike what the world's trying to offer you. And Jesus' kingdom people embrace his peace. Pastor Ken read this earlier from Colossians 3. It says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful." Notice the kingdom language here, right? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, rule over your hearts. A few weeks ago when we did a spiritual formation series, we talked about the heart. And we defined the heart being kind of the core of our will. That our heart is what kind of drives our priorities. It drives our decision-making. Our heart drives what we set out to do later this week, later this month, years from now. But our heart is the core of our will. That's just one way of defining it. So given that definition, letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts is to trust the core of our decision-making, the core of our will, trusting that to the Prince of Peace, allowing him to rule when we are tempted to allow fear to rule, or allow somebody like me, allow control to rule. I need to be in control of everything or something's not right. The core of our will and our motivations flowing from the peace that Jesus gives us. Jesus offered himself on the cross to pay the price for our sins so that we could be free from sin and know peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace who offers us what the world cannot offer. Again, our world and our lives are often chaotic. And we see that chaos in many different places in the Christmas story, where God takes on flesh and willingly enters the messy chaos of our world to offer us himself. And when we zoom out from the Christmas story, and you look through actually what is happening in the events of the biblical Christmas narrative, there doesn't seem to be a lot of peace there. It involves a man wondering whether or not he should leave his pregnant fiance. He doesn't understand what he should do with that. He's scared. He's lost. He's like, what are my next steps here? What are people going to talk about? Are they going to shame her? Are they going to shame us? Are we going to be stained by this forever? Okay, the Roman Empire is ruling over the region, and the Romans call a census so that this couple who's trying to figure everything out have to take a 90-mile journey on foot from Nazareth to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem to be counted in this census while Mary is pregnant. On foot, 90 miles. Okay, because of the census, Bethlehem is so full that a stinky animal shelter is the only place for the baby to be born. Later on, the overseer of the region, a man named Herod, he would feel threatened by the birth of this child, and he would order a genocide for all the boys 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. So Jesus and his family were forced to go on the run, living as refugees in Egypt in order to escape Herod's violence. Okay, so there's not a lot of peace here. It's violence, it's uncertainty, it's what do I do, it's difficulty, it's challenges, it's chaos. Excuse me. But God sent his son into this place, into this story, into this chaotic, anxious, confusing world. And he sent Jesus with the angelic message proclaiming peace on earth. That includes the peace of Christ ruling in your heart. Even when all of the outside circumstances would say, no, peace is impossible, no. But with Jesus, nothing is impossible. Jesus' kingdom people embrace and extend peace. Embrace it and extend peace. When we know Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, welcome his peace to rule in our hearts, we can then become vehicles of God's peace, extending peace to others, not living into the drama and the gossip and the bitterness and the vitriolic relationships and all of the junk of our relationships sometimes that the world says, no, gossip about them, no, hate on them, no, never forgive them. You know what they did? We don't have to be like that. We don't have to live as the world gives. And in Romans 12, verse 18, through the Apostle Paul, God gives this very short but very powerful instruction. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Let's sit with that for a moment. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. This is not what the world gives. And two words that I want to highlight from this passage. The first is all. Do all that you can. Not if it's easy, try to do it a little bit. Not if they've apologized first. Not if 10 years have gone by first. Not if, you know, all of the factors have aligned perfectly for you to then say, you know, maybe I'll pursue it a little bit. Do all that you can. to live in peace with everyone, pursuing peace even if it's difficult, even if it requires something, a selfless, difficult act of love from you, even if that takes a long time. The second word I see in this passage is everyone. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. So maybe when you sit with this passage, you're like, oh, okay, that person's kind of easy to be at peace with. I can forgive them. They can forgive me. We'll be cool. We'll go get coffee, whatever. But, oh, that one, that coworker, that person who wronged me, that family member, that person from my past, this person I'm forced to interact with every day who's just the worst, yes, them too. Not live at peace with everyone unless they are difficult or annoying. Not live at peace with everyone who sees the world exactly like you do. Everyone. Consider for a moment, who might you not be at peace with right now? Who are you not at peace with right now? Because this includes them. And as a member of Jesus' kingdom of peace, what are you willing to do about that? Are you willing to seek reconciliation? Are you working toward forgiveness, even though forgiving that person is taking maybe a lot longer than you would have thought it would? Are you allowing yourself to remain stuck in that place of gossip and complaint and bitterness and even hatred toward that person? God is not honored by our unresolved conflicts that we've refused to do anything about. He needs to apologize first, or she was in the wrong, so it's very childish. Being called to peace includes extending peace to others and not allowing the brokenness within our relationships just persist. Apart from Jesus and his lordship over our hearts, though, apart from Jesus and his lordship over our hearts, our efforts at peace will be meaningless. If you want to know peace, you must know Jesus Christ. If you want to know peace, you must know Jesus. True, lasting, eternal peace. In Matthew 16, verse 15, Jesus asked his disciples a really, really important question. Matthew chapter 16, I'm kind of just truncating the verse a little bit, but he asked the disciples, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And this wasn't just a question for the disciples in the first century. This is a question of from Jesus to us here and now today. Who do you say I am? Because we can talk about the King of Kings and to us a son is given and all of this and let's celebrate and let's give gifts and let's do all these great things around the Christmas season. If your answer to this question isn't Jesus Christ is Lord and the King over my heart, all of this is pretty meaningless. Is Jesus your King? Are you a citizen or pursuing being a citizen of his kingdom of peace? Is his peace shaping your heart, shaping your relationships? Do you truly want that? Or is Jesus one religious option out of many options? Or is Jesus just a tradition or a moral guide that good for you, PJ, you found Jesus, you're trying to whatever. Or is he your King? And do you know him? And does he know you? Nothing else in this season and nothing else in this life matters more than your answer to that question. Who do you say I am? If you want to know peace, you must know Jesus Christ. There's life-changing peace in knowing that your future is secure because you are saved by the blood of Christ. There is peace in knowing that Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is present with you and always will be. There's peace that comes from walking by the Spirit, knowing that you're following God's will and God's voice and living into his fruit of peace growing in you. There's peace in the truth that if God is for me, who could possibly stand against me? So the challenges of this life, it's like God's got it. I have peace in that. No matter what, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord and my King and my friend. He is my peace. So all of that stuff, we're good because Jesus has got it. Who do you say I am? May this Christmas season be the one where you know the answer to this and everything changes for you. Because with confidence, you respond to Jesus. You respond to this question, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my friend, and you're my King. Let's pray together. Lord, I lift up all of us here together right now that we might have certainty, that we might have assurance and peace because we can answer this question, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Jesus Christ has saved me when I couldn't save myself. Jesus Christ has knocked at the door of my life and said, I want to come in and eat with you and know you as a friend. I want to guide you as a shepherd. I want to reign over your life as the one who's been given all authority. I want to give you my peace. Lord, may this season be meaningful because we know you and are following you and we're seeking you and embracing your peace. Lord, I pray for those who, when we ask that question, who might you not be at peace with right now? And there's people who pop into our mind. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, guide our steps. Help us to walk toward places of reconciliation by your power. To have that boldness, to have those conversations, to make those apologies, to make that phone call, whatever we need to do. To not just know your peace as this private little blessing, but be your disciples who extend peace to the world and not allow this bitterness and conflict to linger when you have said, I've given you something better than the world offers. I've given you my peace. So Lord Jesus, be honored in our pursuit of you in all the different ways we do. May our willingness to forgive and reconcile be an act of worship to you. Not even about us, not even about that other person, but about you. Because we say, Lord Jesus, you are bigger than that conflict. Lord Jesus, you are bigger than me not forgiving that person. Your lordship is determining my heart. You're determining my will. So you know what? I am going to forgive them. I am going to pursue reconciliation for your glory, Lord Jesus. So walk with us and shape us and transform our hearts in your likeness. We give it all to you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.